As we continue our study today of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, call to mind that in our last time together, we began to look with you at the parable of the wheat and the tares, which is given in Matthew 13, and one of the two parables explained by the Lord Jesus Christ in the chapter itself, thus giving us the principles for the explanation and interpretation of the other parables. Time will not permit us to review what we have already noticed with you in the chapter thus far as details are concerned, but at the moment we are examining the work of Christ and the work of Satan during this age of grace, during the time that the kingdom of heaven is progressing, digressing, prospering, going downhill, all the characteristics of Christianity while the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven at the right hand of the God the Father. Now, in verse 24 of Matthew 13, we learn the sower good sowed the good seed, and that good seed, we reminded you, represents you if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. In verse 38, the sower is identified as Christ, and the verses following describe the work of Christ sowing the good seed in the field, which was the world. But Satan sowed some other seed in the field, because the workers in the field came and reported to the Lord of the harvest, "There are some other things growing here, and you didn't plant them. What about it?" The Lord Jesus Christ answered, "They are the children of the wicked one." We remind you that in this age of grace, this parable is dealing with the positive work of Christ, and it is dealing with the negative work of Satan. For as the Lord Jesus Christ has sowed good seed in the field, the devil is doing all he can to duplicate the work of Christ by causing people, and I want you to notice carefully what I'm going to say now, by causing people to have the appearance of Christians, but not the possession of Christians. May I say that for you again? I say, the devil is attempting to duplicate the work of Christ to confuse mankind by causing people to have the appearance of Christ without having the appearance of Christians without having the possession of Christians. And you might say today, can the devil duplicate the work of Christ? And my answer is no, of course not. But the devil can and does produce a reasonable facsimile so that individuals who are not born again can live so much like born-again Christians that individuals oftentimes cannot tell the difference. Sometimes even the facsimiles are not sure of the difference, because they are comparing and contrasting their lives with the lives of Christians. And so often the life of the facsimile is so much better than the life of the Christian. That is, the life of the professor sometimes so far outshines the life of the possessor that the professor, the mere professor, sits and says, "I know I'm all right because there's that Christian over there, and he says he's a Christian, but I certainly live better than he does." And I'm repeating, but I say it's sad, but it's true. Quite often, it's true. There's a great likeness between tares and wheat, and it's difficult for ordinary people to distinguish the difference. Now, I would like for you to review with me the sermon that this particular parable preaches, so that we may learn exactly what we should from it. So let me begin by saying it warns, first of all, of the devices of Satan, of which we've already noticed one in this parable. Satan is opposed to the work of Christ. He's doing everything that he can to ruin the work of Christ. And in verse 19 of chapter 13, when we study the parable of the sower and the seed, you remember, Satan had a device of prevention. When the word of God is sown in the heart of man, we learned in studying that parable, Satan swoops down like a bird out of the air and takes away the seed before it has a chance to take root in the heart of man. He prevents it from taking root. He prevents the work of God. The devil, believe me, is an individual of many devices, and he's never satisfied with one. So in our parable, he uses the device of imitation. He uses the device of prevention. He uses the device of imitation. If he can't keep the word of God from taking effect, then he imitates it in such a fashion that individuals are confused and find it necessary to say, Lord, I don't know. Who is the real Christian? Someone might say, will the real Christian stand up? Because nobody really knows. And that leads me to suggest to you that there is another message, the theme of which might be called the duty of servants. You are a servant of God. If you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you are a servant of God, and you are a laborer in God's vineyard. You have a responsibility concerning the sowing of the seed. We must recognize our duty as servants. I would like to suggest to you that our duty as the servants of God is twofold. First of all, it is related to discipline, the disciplining of ourselves. When did the wicked one sow the tares in the field, according to our parable? When was that? While the servants were asleep. The problem with so many today, with people who have a great heritage of Christian faith, well, some of the great denominations that God has blessed in times past. What's happened? Well, the leadership, at least, of the denominations were asleep, and while they were asleep, Satan sowed the tares among the wheat, and the servants failed to be on guard. They failed to discipline themselves to be watching that no error would enter in among the flock of God. Now, I want to make an application today. I want to make an application that I think must be made. Yes, it should be made by all means. Christian, you need, I need, to discipline ourselves. We need to stay awake, figuratively speaking. It wouldn't hurt some of us to stay awake physically sometimes, I suppose, but we need to stay awake figuratively so that the devil does not sow tares in our lives. You see, I'm making this very personal now. We've been talking about the devil sowing tares in the field, which is the word, but I'm talking about a very personal thing now. I'm talking about the fact that you and I must stay awake lest Satan sow tares in our lives, because I want to emphasize that you don't stay in fellowship with God automatically. The devil is always sowing something here and sowing something there that might break your fellowship with the Lord, and you need to stay awake, to be on your guard, to keep the devil from sowing tares in your life. I said the servant of God has a twofold responsibility. We've been talking about one of them, discipline. Now, there's another responsibility that the servant of God must be careful to observe, and I describe it by the word discernment. It is presented in verses 28 through 30 here in our 13th chapter. The laborers said to the Lord of the harvest, "Do you want us to pull up the tares so that the wheat will be able to grow?" Remember now, the tares in the parable are called darnel, and there's very little difference between the appearance of darnel, or tares, if you want to use that word, and wheat. So much so that, very literally, in relation to tares and wheat, darnel and wheat, no one except a very experienced person could tell the difference. So the Lord Jesus Christ said, "No, I don't want anybody pulling up any weeds. You're not capable of knowing the difference between the weeds and the wheat. You're not capable of knowing what is tares and what is wheat. Don't try to pull up anything." Will you learn a lesson, which I have learned, from these words of the Savior? Refresh your minds if you've already learned it. No believer, listen now, no believer is ever commissioned to pull up. He's only commissioned to plant. No believer is ever commissioned to criticize. He's only commissioned to encourage. If you are in the pulling up business, stop it and go into the planting business. Oh, but we need to do this and we need to do that. No, you don't. God will take care of it all in due time. All the hours that you spend in pulling up are just that many less hours you have to plant, and there isn't too much more time left to plant. We need to be planting and not pulling up, because we don't know the difference. And if we're not careful, we will do a great deal of damage by pulling up that which is good in our effort to pull up that which is bad. Well, one other thing we must say about this parable in the few seconds we have left with you, and that is, this parable gives us the information concerning the doom of sinners. We'll have more to say about that in detail later, but where are the sinners going to end? Well, we're told in verse 30, and again in verses 40 through 42, that they are going to end in a place of eternal judgment. They are pulled up and cast into the fire. And I don't want to leave on that note, and I'm glad I don't have to, because we are told in this parable not only about the doom of the sinners, but of the destiny of the saints. And my, what a difference there is even in those two words, isn't there? Doom and destiny. The very sound of the word doom creates a dark cloud, and the very pronunciation of the word destiny stirs up the hope within us. This parable reminds us of the destiny of the saints, for we are going to be gathered together one day as wheat is gathered into the barn. And that's what the Apostle Paul meant in his letter to the Thessalonians when he said, "The trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." We call this the blessed hope. I hope it is your hope today.